tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living. Thank you, Larry. Are you singing it to him now? Lord, to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. That's your desire? With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary. Are you? Amen and amen. That's your desire. Amen. Be a sanctuary for the Lord. Good to be in the house of the Lord. If you'd like, turn in your scriptures. Turn to Matthew 9 and Mark 11. Matthew 9 and Mark 11. Now remember, I know it's already been announced and everything, but to make sure everybody gets it, the time changes this Saturday night, so make sure you run your clocks back, because this is fall, so fall backwards, you know, so make sure you run your clocks back to where you'll be on time this coming Sunday. I always do mine on Saturday night, but a lot of people wants to wait till Sunday and then do it and all, but I'll forget it, so I do it on Saturday night before I go to bed, and I'll, because it ain't going to change your sleeping just because you move a clock. You know, that won't do it that way. But also remember now, the Lord willing, there won't be any Bible study on the first Saturday of November, and there won't be one in December. So we're canceling the two Bible studies in November and December, you know, where we can get through everything and all that. And I know you've done prayed for him, but remember, Brother Ray's father, he fell and broke his hip, but now they're more concerned about his kidneys because he's having problems with failure of the kidneys, and you know, that could be worse because it would mean a dialysis machine and stuff like that. So, you know, just keep him in your prayers. We went up today, and you know, they told you to see Brother Tatum, and he seemed to be doing good. Said he'd had a few bad days last week, you know, but said everything was running good with him now, and all is well. Talked to Sister Watson yesterday. Days has passed for me, but anyhow, and she was doing real good. She's in the rehabilitation part of the hospital, and they're working with her. So just, you know, keep praying for her that the Lord would touch her and everything would be all right. And I think if any other announcements we need to make, just pray one for another. The Lord would guide each and every one. Let's pray as we before we read our scripture. Father, we thank you for an opportunity of gathering tonight. Thank you for your love and your grace unto us. Thank you for what you have done for us, Father, because truly you are our Father, and you've bestowed upon us the right to be your children, and in that we glorify you and honor you for all that you've given unto us. We ask you now that you'd forgive our sins, because we know we fail you, and we fail to keep our end of what we're supposed to do in our lives, and all, we're sorry. So just guide each and every one. Have your way tonight as we read your word and talk about you. You come on the scene, Lord, and just bless each one. Remember Sister Watson. Remember Brother Don there in the nursing home. Remember Brother Tatum, Father. And remember each one. Remember Sister Thomas, Lord, in her eyes. Just keep these, Lord, in your heart. Remember Brother Ray's dad there, Lord, and make his kidneys to be all and knit well and knit the body back together as it's supposed to be. We know he's 90 years old, but he still wants to get out and go and do and everything. So just help him. Father, forgive our sins, because we know we fail you, but you have your way. It's not based upon what we do. It's based upon what we believe about what you've already done. So guide us now and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to just read a couple of scriptures, and then we'll get to the point of what we want. But in no way will the scriptures be the point I'm trying to get at. I'll just tell you that up front, because I'm going to try to keep it very simple. but I'm wanting to read it for that purpose. But eventually we'll get back to these same scriptures and read them to take it on into deeper depth. But look at Matthew 9, about 21. Now we know this is the woman, you know, she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, no. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. So I'm coming on down, just trying to pick up another scripture. They laughed him to scorn, and when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose, and the fame hereof went throughout all that land. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, now coming to another point, see, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, yea, Lord. And he touched their eyes, and saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. Now, he was talking about their faith, you know, not the faith of God now. All right, now. So Mark 11, verse 20. They're talking about the fig tree now. You remember Jesus coming and cursing the fig tree because it didn't have fruit on it. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remember it, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Now, let's just stop there on that. Because I want you to see something. Because I'll say it this way. Brother Branham said Mark 11 is based upon faith. But he said anybody can do it. It doesn't take a Christian now for Mark 11 to work. All right. So now I want you to think on that, you know, for a little bit. And that's reading. I'm reading those scriptures kind of to get it in your mind. See? I know what the original there says, have the faith of God. I know that. But just think about have faith in God. So you can be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, there's only, and you can run it through if you'd like, in your computer, there's only about three number-wise in the Strong's Concordance applying to faith. And faith only appears just a very few times. I think it's in Deuteronomy and one of the others. Only a couple of times that the word faith is used in the Old Testament. And so that way it's more or less a New Testament word. Now, not that it's waited till then, but it's more of that. And there's only about three different times that it's used, and you can't tell by it what it's talking about. You know, you can't just say, well, faith. You know, that's faith. This is faith. You got to take the before and the after to understand what it's being said. The word faith is 4102 in your Strong's, which means assurance, to believe, belief, them that believe. It means conviction of the truth of anything. It means just belief. All right. Now, you've got to study the Bible. If you know this much, some of you do, that say like the word spirit. You can't go in the Bible and read the word spirit every time and think it's talking about the Holy Spirit. But neither can you read it and think it's talking about man's spirit. It's so much, it just uses that one word spirit. You've got to go and get the text or the context or ever how you say that, you know. You've got to get the before and the after to study out to see what it's talking about. Well, so is it with the word faith. Now, this is going to be a study on faith. So that's what I want you to think about for a little while. And we'll try to get into something. It's because that's my thought. See, it's faith. We need faith more than anything. But if we don't understand the basis of it, you know, how are we going to be able to do it? All right? So you can say, well, now, Brother Dale, like I said, it's 4102 is the number to be used, and it's used like speaking of your faith. That's the same number. But when it says over there in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance, that's the same meaning. So you can't just go to it without knowing the before and the after. You know, the text that it's in, to see whether it's talking about spiritual faith or whether it's talking about just mental believing. Because that's where our trouble's at. Right? Now, do you have mental faith or is it a spiritual revelation? Which one is it? Oh, Brother Dale, I've got the faith of God. Well, if you've got the faith of God, and you confess you have the faith of God, then the world has a right to look to see if what you have is right. Now, but see, there's a vast difference now between your just faith, you know, just faith, meaning to believe something. There's a vast difference in that than to say the faith of God. You say, well, what do we need to know about it? What do you have? What do you have? See, now, what I'm trying to explain is like this. You see somebody that comes up with cancer, et cetera, whatever disease, and especially I'm talking about the people of this message, because I've watched them over and over and watched you and me, watched you many times when some of you told me, the Lord told me so-and-so, and I didn't believe it. And it didn't work. Okay. So I guess you can blame me. Of course, you will after I said that, because you probably never thought it before to blame me for it, but go ahead. Brother Al one time came to me and he said he was going to stop taking medication for blood pressure, I believe it was. I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, because I'll use a couple more anyway. So if you get upset, then there's one thing for sure. You know you're guilty. Okay, amen. I said, Brother Al, go to the doctor. But I believe the Lord's leading me not to take it anymore. I said, Brother Al, go to the doctor and ask the doctor, you know, explain it to him. And if he says, okay, stop taking the medicine and we'll see. Now, fine, you know. I explained some, you know, to that degree. Maybe not exactly those wordings, because it's been a long time. But I said, let the doctor tell you. Well, what's the doctor got to do with it? I got faith. Well, he's still taking blood pressure medicine. Okay, now there's nothing wrong with taking blood pressure medicine. So it's going to be hard for me to try to preach tonight, real hard, because I got to talk plain. See? Brother Dean one time came to me and told me, said, I'm not going to take any more insulin. Now, Brother Tom knows this is true. I went to Brother Tom. I said, Brother Tom, Brother Dean said he wasn't going to take no more insulin. I said, Brother Tom, you keep your eyes on him because you know what can happen to him. You said, Brother Dale, you didn't have no faith. No, the Lord didn't speak to me. The Lord didn't tell me. If the Lord had told me to tell Brother Al not to take no more blood pressure medicine, I'd have said, Brother Al, the Lord told me to tell you that. Like I said, blame me because maybe I'm the doubter. But let's get a truth involved. I said, Brother Tom, watch Brother Dean, because he said he ain't going to take no more insulin. Well, it didn't work. See? All right, because he's still taking the insulin. Now, how many more do we need in our thoughts and our mind of things when we've all had what we thought was the great leading of the Lord to do so-and-so? And then we found out it didn't work. All right. Now, see, a lot of people, like I said, will come up with something like cancer. You know, and they'll say, I've got faith. By his stripes, I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. I ain't taking nothing in against it. And I'm not throwing off on people. I say we all do it. But I'm trying to be honest with you to talk about it. Because at least you can't say that he didn't tell me like it was. But they'll say, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. And maybe they begin to pick up a little. And the body begins to react. And science says amen to that. Because get Brother Gary Atkins there, get his daddy to tell you about it. He said, the first thing I want the patient to do is believe that he can be healed or that I can help him. He said, because it's 80%. Sarah's a nurse back there. You know, the doctor wants you to believe that. And that's good because it works in a mental capacity of the human body. Right. You see people going along for a while, and we use the old saying, they gave up. Yeah. Well, what happens? They die. Right. But see, what I'm getting at, we'll say, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. And we go a while. Maybe you get better. But then all at once, you start getting worse. Well, then people will start propping it up by saying, well, Brother Branham said, go to the doctor. Their first statement was, I ain't going to no doctor. Yes, Brother Branham said, we need to go to the doctor. So I need to go to the doctor. Am I right? Then after a while, it begins to get worse and worse. And then after a while, they come up with the idea that, well, maybe it's just not the will of the Lord to heal me. Now, come on, am I right? I'm talking plain. And what you're doing is you're losing all mental capacity. You're losing the mental capacity to be able to overcome. Don't ask me what that has to do with it, but ask these that know. You go to the doctor, says 50% of these people who have done this medicine, they're all right. They're healed. You say, well, I got a 50% chance. But if you go in and they say, well, nobody's ever had this and lived. And you go back, and what do you say? Nobody's ever had this and lived. Well, you know, I mean, you're dead. Because you have no confession. Now, see, Webster says faith is confidence or trust in a person or thing. It's like belief in God or in the doctrines or teachings of religion. Now, as I said, there's a vast difference. A vast difference between something that is revealed to you, faith, than something that you are believing. And Brother Branham said this, some of these I didn't bring because you ought to know them. But he said Peter was walking on the water. But said he seen the surroundings. Now watch it. He said he lost his substance, but he still had his faith. Now what's he talking about? So there's a vast difference between substance faith of Hebrews 11:1. Faith is a substance thing. There's a vast difference in that than just you believing. All right? The prophet said some people have what is called natural, nature-given faith. Used to work with a man there at work, and when they went to the moon, you know, and all, you've heard me tell it before, he dips nuts, and old country boy, and I'm not throwing off on about all that, but he just couldn't believe. He said, they didn't go to the moon. Said it went out in the desert somewhere. He just couldn't believe it. Have you ever seen people that couldn't believe? What is it? Which is it? Is it Missouri? The show me state? I believe it's Missouri. See? And they say, we can't believe it unless we see it. Well, then you can't prove God. But now listen. Why is it that some people can believe and others can't? Now, I'm not talking about born-again Christian. We're not talking about Christianity at all tonight. So get that in your mind. I'm not talking about anything in Christianity. You know, I'm talking about just simply being able to believe. You know, some people, they just can't do it. They just can't believe. You know, if you went over in Africa and picked up a person in Africa that has never been in a car, never seen a car, and never experienced nothing like that, and you could have him somewhere isolated, not let him see it or see it working, but you could start telling him maybe, over in America, there's cars that'll run down the highway 60 miles an hour. He'd say, I don't believe. Right? Why? Because he has nothing to base it on. Now, faith is based upon something you've seen, heard, experienced. Mental faith now, that's what we're talking about. Your mental faith. Not talking about anything in the realms of Christianity. Not talking about faith being a revelation. Just talking about there's some people that can't believe. Now, some of you here have probably never seen the Grand Canyon. Yet you've seen pictures of it and you've read stories of it. But you've never experienced seeing it. But there are some here that have seen it. I know it exists because I was there, you know. All right? Now, but others have to take the word of what somebody says. And your natural faith is based upon what somebody taught you. Where would we be if someone hadn't stepped out and made the wheel, as we call it? The old guy in the comic strip, you know, back in the old Stone Age days, you know. But what would have happened if the Wright brothers had said, well, only birds can fly? Because that's what the world said. Right? But see, they stepped out on something more because they had something moving them. But yet they still had no faith in what they were doing as a total substance. They were only stepping out upon something. Now we go down, we get in an airplane, and we fly. Thousands of miles per hour, and never even think nothing about it. But now what would happen tonight if you went down to the airport and they announced it on the thing that every airplane that had went up in the air today failed? Something went wrong. Would you get on the airplane? I doubt it. I wouldn't either. Why? Because my ability to believe has been removed from me. By natural circumstances, I've been brought down from what I had as a concept that was based upon principles of the past. All right? Now, how would we believe God then? Because Hebrews 11:6 says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. You can't prove it. Now listen, this will be later on, but this is a thought. So get this in your mind and hold it for later. You know that God, there has never been a person, let me say it this way, there's never been a person that something just plam like that. God has always told man what to do. Someone has always told you what to do. How to do it. And it's built a confidence in you. God never, you don't see Moses walking along and Moses just, I'm going to Egypt. No. Even after he had been commissioned to go, he was doubting the fact of going. Because he didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost to believe God with. God has never asked you and me to step out on something that he hasn't already told us before. See, I know this. That's the reason I'm going to try to approach something about faith. And I pray that God will open it where we can understand. But if we don't get it right on our mental capacity, see, there's no way that it'll ever work in the spiritual realm. Right. Now, listen to what I'm saying. People say, oh, but Brother Dale, we're living in a day when we're going to have a change of the body. Nobody's ever done that. I'm sorry, Jesus did. When we're in a day when nobody's ever taken a flight up into heaven, I'm sorry, Elijah did. Enoch. So God's not asking you and I to do something that nobody else hadn't done. He's already taken care of it himself. He's already went through death, burial, resurrection, change, ascension. So he's not asking us to believe something that's not already taken place. Because you can't have confidence in something you don't know. You can't have a mental confidence in something you know nothing about. I mean, surely the Wright brothers must have taken a, as we used to do in school, you know, take a little piece of paper and fold it up and make an airplane. And we found out, hey, if you stole one of them hairpins from them girls, bud, you can make a rocket. You slip that thing on the end, and you go, phew, and it just sail all the way across the room. Well, they had seen those things. They had seen something with, you know, they had the concept in their mind of making an airplane. It was not just from nothing. See, God doesn't expect you and I to do anything from nothing. He tells us. But let's just keep it down now tonight. It's hard to do that, but let's keep it down. Because, see, when you think about mental faith, it's like, oh, revelation. Just think about mentally believing. Yeah. Now, if I told you, I'd say there's a pink elephant standing in the doorway. You'd say, boy, he's crazy. Why? Because you know there's no such thing as a pink elephant. Now, you might have seen one when you was drunk. But what I want you to think about tonight is just get within your brain what I'm trying to say. Because, see, mental faith is based totally in your brain. And that's where we get into trouble. We never ask God for it to drop down to be revealed to us. We think it's because that we've got it. We think the prophet said it, we've got it. Like I've always said, Brother Dick could say, I've been to New York. I've been on Times Square. Well, let me tell you about Times Square. I'll tell you all about Times Square. It's laid out this way. It goes down this way. It goes down. Have you ever been? No. Well, how do you know it exists? Well, what do you mean, how do I know it exists? People told me it did. Well, you don't know it exists. You have no way of proving it exists. Except upon what somebody else said. Now that's what I want you to get the point. Faith, mental believing, is totally based upon what somebody taught you. Right? All right, now. You know that at one time, man was totally convinced in his mind that the world was flat. And no one would sail very far out into the sea because they thought you would fall off. Well, what do you think about that now? You know that one time, science, Brother Branham said, prove that if you went the total speed of 30 miles an hour or something, that you just gravitated, well, you just lift up off the earth, just go sailing out to. That was what man believed. You know, there was a time that you swore that hell was eternal, and that there was three gods, and all kind of doctrinal things that had no Bible basis whatsoever. But it was because of what somebody told you. And the one that told you didn't tell you the truth. There's an old saying, tell a lie long enough, what? Everybody believe it, and you know what? You'll even start believing it yourself. And it's a total lie. Think about it. Your whole life and makeup is based upon what you believe. Everything is based upon what you believe. All right? See, what we think we have is spiritual faith. When it's really mental believing. Right? It's only what someone has convinced you as to being right. We've always said, this is our right hand. How do you know? Well, what do you mean? It's on my right side. Oh, good. You know what I'm trying to get at? 100 years ago, we would have believed the world was flat. You know, somewhere thereabouts. Maybe not then, going back 300 or 400 years. We would have believed that there was no way to go to another planet. And we'd have said, if God wanted us to fly, to give us wings. And you would have been burned as a heretic for believing anything different. That's how strong the belief of man was. But see, that belief was based totally upon what somebody said. And no scriptural background in whatsoever. I remember reading about a man that, maybe Brother Branham even told a story, but I remember the story about a man that was so great in telling the story, he got to telling about a ship that was sinking. You've probably heard it. And as the, you know, he just kept telling the story about the ship. The ship was sinking, and this man there with him got so involved, he jumped up and he said, man the lifeboats, man the lifeboats. I mean, he got so involved, he thought the ship was going down. You know, where they was at. But you see, church, it's really just being convinced. That's what the doctor wants you to do. He wants you to be convinced that the medicine will help you. The world wants you to be convinced that everything's running good. Who was it? Now, I believe I'm right. If I may miss the name, but what was his name? Gaddafi. Anyhow, they said that one of his... big man, you know, that handled all the money. I don't know what it was, but he come running in one day and he told him, he said, we're in a depression. He said, who give you the right to declare a depression? I didn't say we were in one. Take him out and, you know, cut his throat. But it's because of what you believe. All right? Now, what's the point? We spend a lot of time, and I gave it to you, where the prophet said the biggest portion of our faith is mental faith. All right, now, I just want that line that you got lined under there to where you can read it from blasphemous names. That's all we're dealing with tonight. We're not dealing with spiritual revelation and the things going on that the prophet goes on to deal with. We'll deal with that in another message. Because if you don't get this right, then I don't see how you could believe the rest of it. The point I want us to get at is to just be straight and honest. We call it, well, I'm not going to prop that up. Well, that's the best way to be. Because when you're straight and honest, you can do something about it. But if you keep lying and telling the lie, you'll never be able to be helped in any way. The biggest portion of our faith is mental faith. Mental faith is just the fact of believing. And believing that something's right. Now watch, and let's get to it. Brother Branham standing one day, and he said, he was talking about faith, he was talking about substance faith. You see why it's so hard to try to preach, because all this comes in. But he said, now, substance faith is like, for instance, he said, there would be no need of me believing for a shirt, he said, because I got one on. I can feel it, I can see it. But he said, now, substance faith is like this. He said, for instance, he said, I've got a Barlow knife. So what if I'd have left that Barlow knife laying on the desk over there where it's in the motel or hotel or whatever there's in the place they stay? He said, if I believe that, he said, that knife will be in my pocket. He said, now that stumped you. Now listen, church. See, we think, oh, God had given Brother Branham such a great thing until if he needed his knife to lay in there, it'd have been that. Oh, you can just hear sermons, you know, just rolling. Now, he didn't say anything about that. He just said, if I believe it. That's why Jesus kept referring back when they would come to him and the healings and the things that we're talking. He said, as your faith is, be it unto you. If you believe it, it's yours. He ain't talking about Holy Ghost revelation. The little woman that touched the hem of his garment didn't have a Holy Ghost filled revelation because he didn't have the Holy Ghost because it hadn't been given yet. See, that's hard for people to even see. When you say that those people of the Old Testament are even the time of Jesus alive, you know, upon the earth, that nobody had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth, and that goes haywire in people's minds. Go, Brother Dale. They had to have it. Had to have what? Jesus hadn't died. Well, how did it work? The prophet called it faith for the time, something to that order. Because you see, Mark 11 is not based upon whether a Christian asked the mountain to move. It's based on whosoever believeth. Yeah, but I gave you one off the message called Faith the Substance. Where Brother Branham, I just gave you a little part of it because it's the whole, nearly a book of it. But he's talking about the little girl, you know, that had the sickness that was dying, and he went to her and to pray for her, and she said, oh, Brother Branham, I've got all faith. She said, so-and-so was healed. And I'm healed too. That sounds good. You know what we'd all do? We'd all glory, hallelujah, just jumping and running. She's got faith. Brother Brown said she didn't have it. That's what he said. He said she didn't have it. He said, now I want you to prove you got it. I'm paraphrasing, but just make sure you read the book. You'll get the whole story. There was a bracelet or something hanging in the room on a string. He said, move that string, that bracelet, backwards and forth and around and stop it. In other words, then I'll believe you got it. What was her answer? Brother Branham, that's spiritualism. Now, come on, what did he do? He said, I knew right quick she didn't have it. But you read on there what he said. She said, can you do it? He said, yes. He said, I fastened my eyes on it. It moved around backwards and forth, and it stopped. See, everybody thinks, well, Brother Branham, that was God. Now read the quote. Let me read it to you where you can't argue. Faith the Substance, 1947-0412. Go down to where I got it underlined because you just get the whole thing. He's talking about mustard faith and a small seed. He said, listen. She said, look here, I want to ask you something. She said, did God move that? In other words, did he move the bracelet backwards and forth? Or did the devil move that? Now here we go. Well, it had to be one of the two. Because there's only two powers. See, we think we know all about it. What was his answer? Let's read it together. I said, neither one moved that. She said, then how in the world did it move? I said, I moved it. She said, well, you're 15 feet or better away from it. I said, no, it's my faith that moved it. See, if you ask anything and don't doubt it, see what I mean? He said it wasn't God. He said it wasn't the devil. He said he done it. Well, that was because he was a prophet. I'm glad you thought of that. Look down at the number 3, Messiah, preached in 1961, 117. Here the other night I saw on a telecast of a man with psychic mental faith. Set a glass of water and stood back and kept concentrating on that glass of water till it bursted. It's just by concentration. Watching that glass of water. And the glass cracked and the water run out. Just pure mental concentration. Why? That's his fibers. That's his makeup. If he can do that, got a power in him by mental faith that can break a glass of water and him being the center, that shows that there was something made in that man. Well, we're the human being. You've heard him tell about the things that would happen of that order. It's not that Brother Branham was some superhuman. It was the fact that he believed. There are people who can walk on coals of fire and then white hot. I know there's fakes, but there's real truth. Because of their mental ability. There's people who have sat with their hands folded until their fingernails grow through their hands on the backside because of some thought of a mental concept in their mind of some way to appease an angry God. Mental believing. Look at the last one. E-47, be not afraid, it is I, be not afraid, 1960, 305. It is true that someone might have enough mental faith to raise up out of a wheelchair and get up off of a cot or a stretcher. But he goes on to explain, you don't want to do that because you're discerning. But what about the Beatles? when your prophet said that there were people healed while the Beatles were singing and going on, getting up and doing things, until they even said, we're going to start a healing campaign. What about your mental believing? People get up and walk up out of a wheelchair or something. Not because God healed them, but because some way they mentally believed it. I'm not making light of some of these people that have prayed for people and those things that happen. I'm not saying that. I got enough sense. But I'm saying the Beatles sure wouldn't have God. Now, what is the difference between mental faith and spiritual faith? When the prophet said the biggest portion of our faith is mental. Now, that to me is, and we'll get to this later, and I'll reuse it as that form. When he's talking about mental faith, he's not talking about how much you've read. A lot of people think mental faith is how much you've read. No. I know where that goes. He said mental faith will become a spiritual revelation. But I got some more that I'll come after this with, where he said, if you got just a mental faith, keep holding on to that, and said, God will come to that. But what's wrong with the people, the reason they're not saved? I'll go ahead and quote it this way. He said, the reason people don't get the Holy Ghost, he says, because they can't believe. Brother Dale, you trying to tell me I don't have the Holy Ghost? I wish to God I could do that and you find it out and it be a reality. Because you could do something about it. And you wouldn't go on facing it until it comes to a time that when you're dying or something and you're laying there and saying, you lied to me. At least you can't say that. Because I've tried my best to tell you it ain't like we think. See, we think, we've been taught, if I deny God, He'll deny me. How many of you ever heard that? How many of you ever said it? How many of you ever heard this? If I deny the Trinity, when there is no Trinity, what is it? A lot of people just can't believe. And that's what's wrong. But the group that I'm talking to tonight is maybe not that, or you wouldn't be here. Or maybe even the ones listening on the tapes or anything will hear it. But I'm trying to get you to see that what we call spiritual revelation a lot of times is no more than a mental concept. I made this statement today to Brother Dick, and I'll make it on tape and leave it. I believe there's a lot of denominational people that have more spiritual revelation than a lot of the people in this so-called message has of spiritual revelation. Brother Dale, we've got what the prophet said. You used to have what so-and-so said about the Trinity and you taught it. You used to have that hell was eternal because the church has taught it to you. Just being able to read is not it. We'll get to it a little bit more where you can talk to it. Hold on to mental faith. Sure, it can become a spiritual revelation, but don't say that your mental faith is a spiritual revelation. Now, I just got through with the series on preaching what? Positive attitude. trying to get us to see everything in God is positive. But now positive attitude can be no more than a mental concept. We've got the prophet's message, Brother Dale. We've got the revelation of the Bible. And you tell me that there's two souls, 700 Perusia, River Jordan, Holy Ghost doctrines. And you tell me that come out of the Bible. One day you'll see, as I told Brother Dick and him today, one day you'll see that Paul wasn't exalted when he said, "You'll be judged by my gospel." Then you'll hear him say like this, "If anybody is spiritual or a prophet, let him acknowledge that what I have said is the truth." Oh, Paul, you're just an old exalted man. No, that was exactly the Bible. Because your prophet said it. No revelation can be contrary to the Word of God. If your revelation won't fit all the way through the Bible, it's not a revelation, it's a mental concept. Don't tell me these things taught by the people of the message of the hour and the end time that leads out to polygamies and everything in the world. Don't tell me that's what the Bible says. That ain't even good mental faith. I understood more than that in the Baptist. At least we didn't go after that garbage can. You didn't hear a Baptist preacher's all right to have two or three wives. But listen, church, mental faith is not a substance. Even a positive attitude with mental faith is not a substance. The Bible talks about holding the faith. But yet you be messed up, how that scripture, in unrighteousness. Holding the faith or the Word of God in unrighteousness. We're the only people that can do that. You say, "I believe Brother Branham, Brother Dale." If you believe Brother Branham, now here's going good, so get it. If you believe Brother Branham, you believe Brother Dale. Because show me where I've ever missed Brother Branham's message. Come and show me. Come and show me where I've ever followed all these doctrines and all these others, at least followed for a while. Come and show me. It's on tape. "Oh, you're just exalted." Well, come on. Because there's one thing about it, I got a mental attitude. That's what got me in trouble, because I could quote Brother Branham. And I'd done that for 2 years after being in this message, before I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I've told that to ministers, said, I've ever told it to preachers, and they say, "Well, but Brother Dale, the message is the new birth." Two years, I could quote Brother Branham a whole lot better than I can quote him now, because my memory's not as good. But it was all mental. Until the day I received the new birth. Then it become a spiritual revelation, and not all of it become a spiritual revelation then. Only the fact that I was born again become a spiritual revelation. But you see, mental faith is what most of us have. You can walk on. I'll prove it to you when we get to it. I'll show you what Peter was talking about. What he was doing. The Lord willing. But see, we think a positive attitude is what we need. No, we need a spiritual revelation. Hey, a positive attitude is great. That's why I don't say nothing to you. You know how I am. You come and tell me something. I'm not going to try to tear you down when I know it and it's not even working. But hey, I'm praying that it will work. But I'd heap rather see you with a positive attitude than a negative. "Well, we ain't got nothing. You ain't got nothing. I ain't got nothing. Nothing or nothing leaves nothing." But you see, the right mental attitude, the prophet said, will bring any promise to pass. But there's a lot of difference between a mental attitude and a spiritual revelation. Right? Mentally, by your brain, you can believe anything. And you can make it work. You make it work. It's what you believe. But see, when you think what you've got is a revelation, is where the trouble's at. I have no problem whatsoever with anybody questioning any revelation I have. Now, I got a lot of problem with people questioning something I don't have revealed to me. But if it's been revealed to me, you can question me on anything. That's why I'm always open. And you know that. Anything I've taught, you come to me. You show me. Because I know what it is if I've taught it. Because I ain't going to teach it till I know what it is. But mental faith, like I said, people will say when they get cancer, oh, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. And then 3 months later, they're getting worse, and they're saying, which is the prophets. They'll say it like this. The prophet said that I'm getting worse, and that's a sign I'm healed. Okay, amen. But then another 3 months later, maybe the Lord wants me to be in this cancer for His glory and honor for some way and to give Him honor. Like Brother Moat said, a man told him one time, said, I've got one leg off, or man had made the statement maybe, I got a leg off for the glory of the Lord. He said, we'll cut the other one off and give Him double glory. He wasn't making light of the man. He's just telling him the truth. But see, we can even use Scripture to back up our carnality. Well, Abraham waited 25 years. I've only been 10. That's what gets me. The one thing that's always got me is people in this message that make predictions. They say the Lord's coming by so-and-so. I got it all figured out. But when He don't come on that, and they get them another one. The congregation ought to have enough ability. If I ever stand out here and say the Lord's coming on December the 7th, 2006, and if it don't come to pass, get you another pastor, or you in bad shape. Well, but Brother Dale really didn't mean that. He just, it's really next year. No, if I say December this year, if it don't come this year, I'm a liar. But you see, most of our things is built upon mental concept. We get a mental concept about Christianity. I'll cover that next. We get a mental concept about healing. I'm the one that sits and listens to a lot of people talk about their healings and their things. Like Brother Al said one time, said, how about coming up here and let Brother Dale see if he can talk you out of it? I sound like total an unbeliever a lot of times with you, maybe. But there's one thing for sure, if I can talk you out of it, it ain't no revelation. God didn't tell you you're healed and me able to talk you out of it. But you understand what I'm trying to get at? Just mental faith. There's people that just cannot believe. But that's, what can I say? Anytime you start making excuses about what you're doing, it is not a revelation. Anytime you're trying to prop something up, I've had it to happen. I've prayed about things and still got a lot of things I'm still praying about. physically in the body. But when that doctor said, I'll take your kneecap off, I looked right back at him in life. I said, you ain't taking my kneecap off. I still got them. And that was 25 or 30 years ago. Nobody wants to get with the old man out doing things. They figure the old man can outwalk them and outdo them. But listen, church. If nothing else, take what you got. I'm not trying to destroy your mental capacity to believe. I'm trying to build your mental capacity up. But I'm trying to show you that what you believe sometimes is not a revelation. It can lead you to a revelation, so don't stop praying. That's when you start praying. God, reveal this to me. You're not going to make God mad at you. He's not going to get mad at you for asking Him for even signs and things. We can go throughout the Bible on that. It doesn't make God mad at you for you to say, God, give me a sign of so-and-so. Oh, but Brother Dan, we ought to believe Him without any signs. That's the kind of person I'm talking about that don't even have a revelation. Because the Bible is full of people that ask God for signs. And the prophet said, if He ever done it for one, He'll do it for you. Now, we don't play like Ouija board signs. Be serious. I've never seen it fail. I've asked God for an answer, and you know that I've told you this. It's on tape over and over. And I'd hold my Bible up, and you'd say, oh, that's a Ouija board. And I got the answer. Hold my Bible up and turn it loose, and everywhere it fell. Lay my finger on the very word that I asked Him. The only time it didn't work. I said, God, this has always worked. What's wrong? Have I got into some kind of a point like everybody else with spiritualism that I'm using it like a Ouija board? What's wrong, Lord? I started to close my Bible and a voice said, go to the top of the page. I thought, oh, well, what's that got to do with it? I've been putting my finger on the words. It said, go to the top of the page. I went up to the top of the page there, and very bold letters was exactly the wording that I'd ask Him. See, because there's ways of knowing whether you got mental faith or spiritual faith. But for heaven's sake, don't lose your mental. Because the only way you can get spiritual revelation or faith is to first have mental faith. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. You got to believe it before you're saved. Then after you get it, it's not you believing anymore. It's Him believing, Brother Danny, after them. But you got to believe it before He can come to it. God ain't going to make you believe nothing. He's going to leave it in your hands to let you decide. I'm not trying to destroy your mental faith, but I'm trying my best to get you to see that a lot of your mental faith is just what it is, mental faith. That it is not spiritual faith. But remember one thing, too. Mental faith seems so close to spiritual revelation until it has confused the world. Now you tell me that the world is not in confusion. What did Brother Brown say? He said, we're not against denominations. What did he say he was against? The system. What is the system? What they taught. Right? Come on, am I right? He said, what they taught. Because what they taught was lies. And yet we believed it. And we propped up our thoughts and our ideas when we come into the message because all we done was took our coat and hat, as Brother Moat said, left that old meeting place, come over into this meeting place, hung her hat up, said, this is it. People don't even quote Brother Branham. Brother Branham said, this is it. But what's the rest of what he said? He said, if this ain't it, let me hold on to this until that gets here. No, but this is it. It's it when it's revealed. The world has scientifically made great achievements over the basis of what they know to be true. And they've taken a mental concept and they've created a great world of scientific achievements, to going to the moon, to cars running down the highways, to just almost impossible things are taking place today. Like Sarah back there, take somebody, I don't understand how it does, but I know she hooks them up to this machine and their kidneys ain't even working. And your kidneys are not working, your body's poisoned, because that's what's taking it off. Hooks it up to the machine, phew. Purifies the blood. And what would have been that 100 years ago? Well, bud, you're dead. Your kidneys quit working. There wasn't but one machine you could hook up to 100 years ago, and that was a thing called faith in the living God. But you see what man has achieved by having a positive attitude about it. By believing something. But look what the world has been done by those that believe it. Adolf Hitler believed that there was a super race of people and he was going to breed them together and bring it out and they would control the world. And he almost did. Communism sprang up to where they were going to take over the world, and Khrushchev beat on that table and said, we'll bury you without firing a shot. Look at all the achievements of mankind because of a brain. But look at the achievements of organized religion because of a brain. Until today, there's probably 500 million Baptists in the world. Probably more Baptists than there are people in the United States. What is it, 300 and something million now? Going to 400 million or whatever? I'm not throwing off on those people, because they're honest-hearted people believing what they've been taught. They might be better off than you and I, because, see, we know the truth. Just don't prop up things because of your mental believing and call it spiritual revelation. Well, Brother Dale, what am I to do? Pray to God. Pray to God. Brother Tom's been sick many times, late in the hospital, been there with him. He'd tell them doctors, go ahead, everything's going to be all right, and it would. But one day he came by and he was bleeding. And he said, Bud, y'all pray for me now, brother. He said, I'm going to the hospital. Ask him about it. We prayed for him. It dropped down his heart. He said, that's it. I'm going down there. He went down to the doctor, laid in the hospital for over a week. They couldn't find out what was wrong with him. But he knows this is true, that other times he didn't have that, as we call it, an unction from God to believe something that quick. Most of the time my healing has to be based upon the fact that I take what God said. And irregardless of what anybody else says, I say what God said. I told you, don't let me come down with cancer and then you write on my tombstone, he died with cancer. Don't do it. Because you're lying. Write on there that I at least had a confession. Because my Bible says that God makes intercession upon what? Your confession. Your confession is only based upon what you believe. That's where the trouble's at. How can God make intercession upon a Trinity? How can God make intercession on two souls and River Jordans and all these doctrines in the message? Mental faith is greater than all of these false doctrines. Because at least let me say the prophet said it. Let me stay with what he said till he reveals it. But Brother Dale, all you've done tonight is just beat us over the head about our believing. Okay. It's all right. Sunday I'll probably do some more. Probably Sunday evening. Or how long I'm on the series, I'll probably come back through this same thing. Because, church, it's time to put her on the line somewhere. And to get away from all of this fancy makeup stuff that everybody has. Like I said, I'd rather somebody tell me the truth and I find out I didn't have the new birth. Then I can cry out to God for that new birth. Then for somebody to pat me on the back and you all right. You believe the message. Well, the devil believes the message. Does that make him right? No. See, people get upset because of my attitude. Because I just say it like it is. Most of our faith tonight is mental. Now, let me say it to you like this. How many of you have had trouble with your car today and you think it won't crank? Nobody in the building is. Nobody says anything about it. Nobody's raised a hand that they've had car trouble and doubt their car cranking tonight. Well, you know what? It's going to be a total shock if you go out there and turn that switch on and it don't work. Why? Cause it's done it before. You've got faith in the car. Now you know that you keep the alternator to working. You keep the batteries and everything. And you believe it's going to work. But now you got enough sense to know as a human being, if the battery is 10 years old, if the alternator is not putting out, you know, any energy to the battery, you know. I don't take a rocket scientist to understand it's not going to crank. But when you know that everything has been right and you've had no trouble, it's a surprise to hit that switch. Now, Brother Branham put faith like that. He put faith that way. He said, faith is so simple, it's just like turning on a switch of a car. Faith is based upon past experiences. I'm talking about mental faith and spiritual faith now. It's based upon past experiences. You know that you and I are asked to believe God when we cannot scientifically prove Him? Now, you know what I mean scientifically. We can go through the wood, we can go through the trees, we can go through the all. That don't explain it to a scientist. He'll tell you how the polywog turned over on one side and done this, that, and the other, and you come out to be an alligator and went from an alligator to a bird and down to a monkey. Then happened to make it to a man. He don't care about all that. He wants some proof. Well, you can't prove God. No, but I can believe Him. I can believe Him and let Him prove it. See, it's based upon what you see, what you've experienced. Natural faith is based upon that. But now I'm not going to tell you when you get sick to say, well, Brother Dale told me that I'm not supposed to. No. You sure got confused tonight. I'll show you where Brother Branham said it like this. He said, I want somebody to pray for me that's got a positive attitude about it. He said, I don't want nobody praying for me that comes up and says, well, brother, I'll pray for you, but I don't know whether it'll work or not. He said, people have said, Brother Branham, you told that person they were healed. He said, what do you want me to tell them? The Bible said they was. Well, Brother Branham, you lied. No, he didn't lie. The Bible said, by his stripes we're healed. But you see, even the right mental attitude is the right thing. But the right mental attitude, now listen, I'm talking about the right mental attitude, has got to have a foundation. Now, I went through the whole thing to say this, okay? The right mental attitude's got to have a foundation. You believed in a Trinity one time that you thought had a foundation. You know why the prophet said they was falling in hell? He said, because there ain't no foundation to it. He said it was a constant falling. He said, because there ain't no foundation. But we stood and swore by the things like that as a foundation. There ain't but one foundation. Brother Dale, I've got my foundation as the prophet's message. Amen. If you know what you're talking about. If you're talking about that the prophet's message is the Bible made manifest. Now we go, amen. But you can take the prophet's message and make it no more than speaking in tongues as an evidence of the Holy Ghost. I know I'm going, Brother Dale, because I believe the prophet's message. I know I'm going because I pray for his family. I know I'm going because he's told me this, that, or the other. One brother says, I know I'm going because he saw me there. Of course, he got upset when people said, yep, he was in hell and saw people too. Man got highly upset about it. But it's the truth. You see, church, I'm trying to get you to just do one thing. Read the message. Read the prophet's message. Read the Bible. Because you can't take the prophet's message without the Bible. You can't take the Bible without the prophet's message. Well, Brother Dale, I just believe what the prophet said. It's like that lady said when they asked her about it. She said, I believe what the prophet said. The man told her, said, well, when Brother Branham was teaching the White Horse Rider was the Holy Ghost, what about it? She said, I believed him then. Well, that's a lie. She was believing a lie. He had no trouble later saying I was confused in it. But you see, church, I'm trying to get you to just think mentally. To me, there is nothing in the world as simple as the prophet's message. Because it is the Bible explained. It is not deep. It's so shallow, we look over it. Brother Branham never wrote another book. He said the book was unveiled unto him, which showed him Jesus Christ. But you see, we get everything all pumped up and propped up. And then somebody comes along and knocks a couple of props out from under us. That's why I've always been, and I know I've done it. I've been that away. I've done it ever since I've been in the message. I've tried to explain things to people where they wouldn't be in mass confusion. I've taken the seals, the 70 weeks, and the things like that to show that the people didn't know what they were talking about. Didn't even know mentally what he's talking about. Went through to show you that things could happen in the world and it not be over with. That there could be an earthquake a drastic earthquake, but then there's going to be another one. Because there's going to be one earthquake when the saints raise, and then there's going to be another earthquake to open under the sixth seal. Trying to show us where we're set. Maybe what I've said to you has just been mental over all these years. But I would to God in some way that you would come and show me where it's wrong. That's not exalting anything. For one person in the world, I know that it's not been a man. God has led me to speak what I've spoken unto you. I know that. I may die and go to hell, but I ain't got nothing to do with it. He's used a dumb donkey, if nothing else. But see, I'm trying to get you to think about faith. Then when you're praying for healing and things, don't pray like a Ouija board type of a thing. Get down serious before God and ask Him. Talk to Him like you would talk to anyone else. You know, commune with God like speaking to your husband or your wife or your children or father or mother or something. And talk to Him serious about it. And Lord, quicken what I've got. Because someday I got to walk out of here. It'd do me no good then to talk about believing the message if we miss the rapture. And the prophet said they'll go right on thinking they're getting the Holy Ghost and all like that, and already be gone now. Is that a quote from the prophet? But you see, church, go home. Pray and ask God. God, have I got what I'm supposed to have? Or am I just what the brother's preaching, just mentally believing? Don't be afraid. See, you've been taught that. You've been taught, as I said a while ago, you've been taught, most of you, that if I deny the Father, I'll deny the Son. So I can't deny the Trinity. I've got to believe in the Trinity because Mama believed in the Trinity. Come on, am I right? When you start talking to people, what do they say? You're talking to them about water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, how many of you done it? Talk to people about water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You ain't mentioned Mama. You ain't mentioned Daddy. You ain't mentioned nobody. You're just talking about water baptism. What did they say? You mean my mama wasn't saved? Is that right? See, because it struck home with them that they seen something was wrong. But then they say, well, I've got to stay here because Mama was here. Brother Branham said, my mother believed in heaven as being this, that, or the other, but he said that's not so. He said, because I went there. The Bible said that God winked at her ignorance, but said it's a time for all men to repent. Come on, if you like Brother Gary there. Hey, it's good to be. You can have all kind of faith when you're feeling good, can't you? You can have all kind of, oh man, I've got faith. I'm living by faith. And about that time, your feet get knocked out from under you, and you're taking one step at a time, knowing the very next step might not be made. And you know what? That 50% of us sitting in this building could die before Brother Gary did and not even know there's anything wrong with us. Amen. Now take it wrong. Say, well, you said Brother Gary's dying. I didn't say that. I'm telling you the truth. If you'll listen. You can prop up all you want to, but the best way to face God is say, God, help me. God revealed to me. Make known to me, take my mental faith and make it a spiritual revelation. Take what little bit I have, Lord, and work on it. Make me what you want me to be. Come on, Brother Dick. Make me what you want me to be, Lord. Not just some mental thought or idea. Make it a spiritual revelation. How many times would you like for me to bring where Brother Branham said, Jesus believed God's word? He said he went down into the grave believing one scripture. You know what he went to hell? Believing one scripture. But it's what scripture says. I'll not leave his soul in hell, neither shall the Holy One see corrupted. He said one scripture. He believed it. You know how Jesus could do what he could do when he could walk on water? He could do all the things. He could multiply food. He could do all kinds of things. You know how he could do that? Because he believed. Wasn't that what he said to him in the scripture there? Do you believe that I'm able to do this? A couple of men let one of them there down through the roof, didn't he? He turned around there and he said, your faith. The faith of the two men, not the faith of the man on the couch. He didn't mention him. He's talking about the two guys that led him down through the roof. Their mental faith was enough to touch Almighty God. They didn't have a supernatural revelation. Well, now what it is, we get up on the roof, we let him down through there, and God goes, no. All they was doing was just trying to get that man into the presence of God. They had heard that he could heal, and they wanted to get the man in his presence. And Jesus put it right back onto their faith. Jesus spoke a lot about faith. But nobody had the baptism of the Holy Ghost while he was alive upon the earth. The new birth. I know the scripture. I know about John. But you don't even know the others. Won't you study a little bit about Elizabeth said was full of the Holy Ghost? You don't even quote your scriptures. But you see, church, I'm trying to get you to just mentally believe. And say, God, take away all this thing that I've tried all of my life to believe. And let me believe you. Then when he comes, you don't have to worry about it. He'll take care of everything. Let's stand. Think on these things. I know it's chopped up, it's messed up, but it'll be messed up next time because we're going to keep referring to this until we understand the difference between mental faith and spiritual revelation. To where we can walk in God's word. Remember, Peter never lost his faith. He just lost his substance. How about it? Go ahead, brother. Number 35 in the red book. If anybody has a need.
Faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me.
What is it? Is it faith or is it a substance? Well, I just believe what God says. Amen. Hold on. But don't quit believing. And don't start propping it up. Don't start trying to figure out how God's going to do it. I was out in the garden one day and told my wife something's going to take place. I said, if it don't, I'll preach no more. She said, you preach your life service. That's how sure she was. I said, it'll take place or I'll quit. Well, I'm still here. See, because I believe.
Help thou, the Bible says, my unbelief. It's either faith or doubt. And if it's a Holy Ghost revelation, it's born again faith. Then our natural faith can be in a realm called doubt. Did you hear that? Our natural faith can be in a realm of doubt. Because that's where it lives. I want a Holy Ghost revelation, don't you? What's revealed to you when you're healed? It's not the seals, the plagues, the thunders, the rub. What's revealed to you when you're healed? By His stripes I'm healed. God's revealing things for me to preach. Write notes on it. Get healed. Write notes for great sermons to preach. Preach for 6 months off of the cross. Write notes for it.
But it's when I got down to saying, God, I believe you. You said it, I believe it. By your stripes, I'm healed. He come on the scene and take care of it.
None of you have ever heard me ask you. When I come to pray for you about something, have I ever asked you, say, do you believe Brother Brown? I've never done that, have I? Always ask you, do you believe God? You believe God has already done this? Because you've got to believe in something that's already taken place when it has not transpired. You got to look past that. Like I told you about the time Brother Dean, he'd tell you. I said, Brother Dean, can you stand right here and believe we're right down yonder where I'm praying for you? What a way. He looked at me and I knew he didn't see it. I said, you got to see the light at the end of the tunnel. You got to believe it. He was hardly walking, I couldn't, he was hardly walking, I had to hold on, brother God. He didn't have to tell me when he come back. He come down through there dancing, he said, Brother Dallas, I was gone. But he brought energy out of me. Believe in God. Take what's been in the past. Let that be an anchor. He ever healed you one time? All you got to do is believe the same way. How did the prophet say for us to read the Bible? By His stripes, Samuel Dale is healed. Put your own name there. Faith. Your mental faith. Hold on to it. Pray. And let God bring that out to a spiritual revelation. Then you'll know the difference between the two. You know that God draws millions of gallons of water out of the ocean every day and never makes one bit of sand. He heals us and takes care of us every day. How many things do you think today could have been death to you that you didn't even know? Something could have taken place. Just... And yet he's right there taking care of you. Why can't we believe it? Because we've been taught mentally what faith is. We've been taught that our mental faith is what it is when it's not. Mental faith will only bring you to a revelation. Mental faith will bring you to a substance faith in your whole life. You hold on to it by saying, God said it. God said it, and I believe it. Help thou my unbelief, Lord. Do you believe? See, a lot of people are mental Christians. That's what we're going to get on to next. They're just mental Christians. Basing their whole life upon a mental concept. Now, I'm going to say this because I'll use it again, so listen. That girl the other day that the Mennonites or what, Amish or what it was, when that man went in and killed those people, you know, and that girl went up to him and said, kill me and let them go. Now, a lot of people would say, oh, that was her. She had the Holy Ghost. You can do every bit of that and not have it. You want Bible? Paul said you could have faith to move mountains. And have not charity, you're nothing. See, we talk about it around here about a lot of times things happening. I'm not saying they're not Christians. But a lot of things take place which is done because of mental things. You can be mentally convinced in your mind that something is so right until you give your life to what you believe. What about it? What do we have? Mental faith or spiritual revelation? Well, Brother Dale, you've confused me. Thank you. Now you'll pray. Because I couldn't tell you anyway. I couldn't be the answer to anything. But God can. Pray until you know. Don't take my word or nobody else's word. I was being prayed for one night with a couple of brothers when I was seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And this certain preacher brother, he said, I believe all y'all got the Holy Ghost tonight. I went out of that room knowing I didn't receive it. Other good brothers went out of that room confessing that they had the Holy Ghost on that man's head. I talked to them. But I never said I had it because that man said. But I'm like that little boy that said, I know nothing happened. But I kept seeking God. I kept seeking God for the new birth, and one day I received it. I'm here today, and both of those brothers are out of the world. They put theirs upon what a man said. I put mine upon what God said. A lot of difference in what God says and what you think man is saying to you. Worship you, oh my soul. Just make sure that you've got a revelation. Make sure your faith is a substance faith. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Just believe and say. Our brother standing for Brother Boyd. So let's all believe with him. Father, Brother Dick here standing for Brother Boyd. We know that that back trouble is trying to come back on him. Giving him a lot of trouble. But we believe you, Father. We doubt our doubts. We don't even look at the things that are the natural of the world. We look straight to thy word that says, by your stripes, our brother is healed. We're not trying to prop it up, make it work, or do anything. We're just trying to believe you, Lord. And by doing that, we release the power that you have to where it can go past our mental beliefs, past our thoughts, our doubts, and all. It can go and touch our brother and make all things well. We believe you, Father. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.
I love you.
Don't go just trying to prop up your mental belief. Just simply believe. Let God. I wish some way. I hope it's dropping down into your heart what I'm trying to say. Just believe God. Believe what God's saying. Just stand on what He's saying. Accept what He's saying. Don't try to make it work. There's no need of trying to make it work. We don't have to make it work. We just have to believe God. If we can do that mentally, what about when the Holy Ghost comes into our heart? God is real. Let's talk to Him before we go home now. Just, Father, we thank you for tonight. And I know what I've said, it's been, maybe it's all in mass confusion, Father, but I've tried my best to explain what you put on my heart. That we think a lot of our faith is spiritual revelation when it's really just mentally believing you. But Father, if we could just realize that if we'll just mentally believe you, then you can come on the scene and make that a spiritual revelation. You can save us, you can heal us, you can guide us if we believe you. We love you, Father. And just bless the people on the way home. Take care of everybody. Give a safe journey. And Lord, just help us to think about you. To think about what we believe. Thank you, Lord, for your word. In Jesus' name. You're dismissed.